Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India Inc.
Hello and welcome to episode 9 of Unabashed, candid conversations on all things talent. In this podcast, we have open, honest and unapologetic conversations about the emergent realities of work, worker and the workplace. I'm Neha Pant, part of the knowledge and advisory team at Sherm India. And I have with me Abhijeet Bhadri, coach, talent management advisor and an author. Hi, Abhijeet. So we have reached our 9th episode of Unabashed. How are you feeling?
Oh, my God. I'm feeling like a 9-year-old, eager to know what the 10th year looks like. So, you know, I sometimes wonder whether we should do something interesting for the 10th episode, because, you know, I'm just inspired by what I saw yesterday on how Apple launched its new phones. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that maybe we should do something dramatic like that. So what could be that dramatic thing? I'm wondering.
How about we move out of, you know, the podcast studio and maybe go to LinkedIn.
Are you trying to get rid of me, Neha?
I don't know how to say that, how to respond to that. Sorry.
Just say it.
If you so I was saying that, you know, now that people have just heard our voice, perhaps, you know, we should also, you know, be on a medium which allows for videos. So, you know, all the fun that we have, you know, in the podcast studio, maybe we should take it to a webcast sort of a space.
So you mean it should be that the fun that you have, people should be able to see how much, you know, you have fun at my expense, so that
you have it at my expense.
No. I'm on no expense account. As a poor gig worker, I think that's where life is treating me.
Have you started calling yourself a gig worker now? Is that the progress we've made in the last 9 episodes?
I'm a gig artist.
Yes, you forgot that.
Whatever that means. When I looked at Apple launch, one of the things that struck me was the way they use PowerPoint. I'm, of course, not going to talk about the phones and all that. That's different. But I'm always very impressed with the way they communicate messages. You know, I wish people would just look at those as great ways in which you can, you know, create your slides. Very minimalistic, 3-4 words, and then they build up that conversation. So it's always, especially since a lot of people now facilitate conversations online, I just think it's a great benchmark to have. How do you sort of build that?
I agree. I remember seeing that first video of Steve Jobs where he was launching the MacBook Air, or you know, the first few MacBooks that were launched, and there was this very thin envelope that he displays on stage.
Oh, so I wouldn't know,
I think
that,
Apple you weren't born back then. But yeah, of course, you know, the product launches of Apple have always been talked about, and there's a lot to learn.
All the CHROs should learn from that.
No, and there's a lot of prep that goes behind, right? A lot of effort.
Months of prep.
So,
yes.
Which is why it looks effortless on the outside. Prep has been, you know, really up to the mark. You're talking about CHROs, and why should they prep as much?
No.
Aren't doing product launches, are they?
No, it's not. Oh, of course, they're doing product launches every single day because, you know, they are really the brand ambassadors. And for the talent brand, who is the bigger brand ambassador than the CHRO? So I think the way they sort of do presentations, say at a campus, when they're talking to a new hire, all of them are like product launches. You know, I just read this interesting study by Spencer Stewart about Indian CHROs. I don't know, have you had a chance to look at that?
Briefly, yes, I did manage to.
Okay, because I just thought that there were some very interesting observations that, you know, they've studied 160 CHROs from the NSE 100, MNCs and emerging companies, as they say. Mm. And they find that, you know, the first thing that struck out for me, and let me, before I give that away, but Neha, what was the first thing that you noticed when you read that CHRO study? What was the first thing that jumped out at you?
Of course, the fact that, you know, while there are more women in HR, there aren't as many CHROs.
So this is also for me the first one, because you know, most people sort of think that there are far more women in HR. Maybe they are the more visible part of HR, but when you look at the CHROs, barely 31% of the CHROs in India are women. And
why do you think that is the case? Are women hitting a glass ceiling there as well?
Oh, definitely. I think that, you know, it's a combination of many factors. And perhaps one of the things is that when you look at the need for the CHRO to have non-HR experience, you know, so, you know, experience in sales, business development, ops and finance, these actually prepare, you know, people for CHRO roles. So until actually you see more women getting hired into, you know, sales, BD, ops and finance at the early stages. So maybe from there, so the opportunity that I see is hire the CHROs from these kind of places so you can really start to build the pipeline, you know, because many of them are internal promotees. Almost 58% of CHROs in India are internal promotees. So yeah, if you build a strong pipeline out there through these programs, then I think then you're really looking at a very, very large pool of CHROs who could come be built internally.
No, I agree. And it was interesting because, you know, the study also said that India is way below the average. So other countries may not be doing as bad. So, yeah, I think the fact that there is we don't have a lot of women in other functions, it is also impacting HR. And, you know, popular belief is that there are, of course, more number of women in HR. But that was quite interesting. And I didn't know this. Even though
is actually the role model that, you know, 50% gender representation. So, you know, that's really what I think it should be. But I also think that you have greater share of voice. So think about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, also what struck me was the Indian CHROs are relatively younger when mm-hmm. they say that. But the age is 48. I am sort of really wondering if that is the case. So are you saying that it takes people, whatever, almost 20, 25 years to be CHRO? Is that the case? And I would have imagined that it is a lot lesser, but it seems to be that's the average norm. So I think.
Yeah. And it's interesting that, you know, in the US, it is the age is 53 years. UK is 51 and South Africa is 49. So in that sense, perhaps, you know, we are doing a tad bit better. We have younger folks who are becoming CHROs.
I think younger is a relative concept because, you know, even in this podcast, look at it, you're a millennial.
Yeah, age is just a number. Yes, I know.
Which is just a number. So, Neha, you must always remember that.
Okay, all right. So, should we look at more senior people, you know, senior citizens becoming CHROs of our companies? Is that what you're suggesting?
I think the piece that I was really fascinated by was, you know, they had reference to three companies, which are really the HR academies, as they call it, and that. And I totally agree with that definition. You know, so Hindustan mm-hmm. Unilever, GE, and ITC are the mm-hmm. three companies which, so if somebody is moved between these three companies, are they surefire on the path to become a CHRO? But also, I think what made it very interesting was that they have a very strong management training program, you know, built on a lot of job rotation. Yeah. And they have really world-class HR processes. So I think that's what an HR academy company would be like. So maybe one of the things would be that we should really start giving awards for HR academy companies. What do you think? Do you think Sherm should give awards for HR academy companies? The people who produce most number of CHROs, you know, what do you think?
Perhaps, yeah, I think a good idea for a new category, maybe. Of course, the different HR practices are getting awarded, but then you know, how many... and there is a category, actually. It's about developing leaders, right? So, and if you have more CHROs that you are building from within, that's, you know, in that sense, it is talking about developing leaders from within. And I think, you know, the whole development bit, over the years, I think we've seen that companies which have these HR academies, you know, as part of their... you know, learning and development agenda, you know, are doing well, and they tend to develop their leaders a lot better than other companies who may not have, an infrastructure like that in place. So, yeah, I agree.
Also, the other piece which I think most companies need to be looking at is that, when they are hiring the CHROs, 80% of them have worked in more than two industries. So when people are there in the early stages, so let's imagine you start off in sales or business development and ops and finance. So one of the parts that I think, it's a myth that it is you have to have an MBA in order to be a CHRO. I think that's a myth, because first of all, business
that has become a myth for every profession today. I think you don't need an MBA to be a leader in any field, I guess.
So I think a lot of it has to do, it's more of a reflection on how management education needs to change much faster. So I think it's a reflection on that. Yeah. But I also think the opportunity is that 80% of the people have worked in more than two industries. And those three industries which they're talking about are, industrial, consumer, and tech. And I kind of immediately thought that, wow, I mean, so that's something that I've had the opportunity to work in consumer goods industries and tech and, industrial companies as well. So I think it does. It does give you a great bit of learning, but I wonder if how much of that learning is translatable into, let's say, the e-commerce companies or some of the other sectors, aviation and all that. Does it really matter, or are the experiences of the consumer tech and industrial companies translatable across, regardless? I mean, they are just so deep that they are almost like meta experiences. What do you think?
I think I would agree to that. E-commerce, to my mind, could be a subset of your tech companies, right? So,
it's probably a combination of consumer and tech.
Yeah. So I think, the three industries that you spoke of, are the supersets, and everything perhaps, falls under those three categories. So if you have extensive experience of those three, chances are that, you have been exposed to, world-class practices, whether in the field of HR or other functions as well. So I would believe that, that could be a good mix of, experience. But one thing that sort of stood out for me in the study was the fact that while they come from, largely these three industries, most of them lack, international experience.
Yeah,
so less than one-fifth of CHROs have international experience is what I read. And to my mind, I think, that exposure is more important to really, get a very well-rounded perspective and, develop cultural intelligence. And I'm using another term now. I know you're going to pick on that.
Explain cultural intelligence. Neha, please.
So, yeah, if you're more, working in a more global environment and if you are at the helm of affairs in an MNC, my sense is that, international exposure is as important as the industrial exposure that you're bringing in. What do you think?
So when somebody doesn't have cultural intelligence, what would you define that person as? Culturally unintelligent or what? What would be the term?
I think I will let you think of that term.
No. I'm good.
I should also learn something from you, right, Abhijit?
I am only
sharing these pearls of wisdom.
No, I think, I always look forward to picking up all the latest jargon from you. So today's jargon that I picked up was cultural intelligence. But on a serious note, I just really think that the way the CHRO role is going to move, one of the pieces I would think is that, I would say that, find people who have worked across different industries, and potentially, I think one of the things we don't look hard enough, find people who've had experience in sales, business development, ops, or finance. These are the four really core pieces that you should necessarily have people, get their exposure. So if there is somebody you expect them to become the CHRO in future, one of the first things you would do is, regardless of the previous experience, put them through a stint in sales, BD, ops, and finance. And maybe, invest at 1 year, giving them four projects, in each of these segments. Do 90-day projects in sales, BD, ops, and finance so that you really become a well-rounded CHRO and you have a seat at the table because you understand the business part of it, but you bring in the unique human dimension. And I would maybe add tech in that. You know, I don't know. I mean, I think because so much of the job is now tech. What do you feel?
No, I agree. But you know what you mentioned in terms of having the seat at the table, and you know, the study also highlights that CHROs do not yet have a seat in the boardroom, and I'm a little bit concerned about that, because I think this is a battle that we've been fighting for you know, long now. So you know, while you said that we should have this you know, job rotation, and we should have experience of different functions, what do you think is the reason why we are still fighting for this you know, seat in the boardroom?
I also think that a lot of it has to do with the fact that our ability to understand functions which do not have quantitative measures. I think the world has seen a reset, and I believe that, you know, like I was mentioning in this book, Prosperity by Colin Myers, you know, I hope I've got that name correct. And, you know, he talks about the fact that today 81% of the value of the organization is actually created through intangible measures. And I think we are still stuck in the sort of industrial age where, you know, value is looked at what you can count, touch and feel. So it's still the tangible things. Until we figure out a way to measure intangible things and find value in that, I don't think you're ever going to see, you know, all the intangible functions. You'll never see a design expert becoming a CEO. You know, even though design is really the fundamental of how businesses work, if you really sort of look at it. So, you know, Steve Jobs will remain an exception rather than the rule. So you would see that. So in all the functions which are qualitative research, you are never going to find qualitative research people becoming CHROs or CEOs, actually. So I think those are some of the changes that are going to happen. And I believe that, you know, the pandemic would have created that transition point. So I'm very hopeful that it's going to happen. I definitely think so, especially in businesses which thrive and grow. It will happen.
Right. So we still have a long way to go, is it?
Yes, we do have a long way to go. And maybe this is something that we should ask our listeners. What do they think that are tangible measures the only thing? Because every time you say, even things like diversity and inclusion, you started talking about that. Yeah. You know, one of the reasons why it has not been done is we still try to convert an intangible area into a tangible area. What percentage is this? And I just think it's just such a terrible way of looking. Anything which is intangible, you'll never be able to do it because you're trying to count one in the language of the other. So I think that's...
And while you say that, I'm reminded of, you know, one of our speakers in our conferences who said that, you know, diversity and inclusion is a mindset. It's not something that you can learn overnight. You know,
yeah,
so
a dashboard thing, you know, which is the typical thing that's on the dashboard, what percentage? Actually, even the study talks about percentages. I think as long as we start talking about percentages, it's going to be something that is going to take much longer.
Yeah.
It's just a different animal altogether, you know. Absolutely. So I think we need to have the mindset where people begin to understand intangible things a lot better. So I would certainly look at that. So Neha, so I think I liked what you started this whole conversation with, which is that our next episode should be on the video platform. So what are you suggesting? We should do a LinkedIn live kind of a thing? Or
Yes, that's what I'm thinking. So for our 10th episode, maybe we interact with our listeners live. So I'm hoping we have more than two and, you know, they'll show up to our LinkedIn live, and maybe we will have a live chat with them as we do our 10th episode of Unabashed.
Okay. Do that.
Perfect. So I think that's what we will do. Our 10th episode will be on LinkedIn Live, everyone. If you are listening and if you have been listening to our episodes.
You know, what's my big worry, Neha? We will discover that we actually have only two listeners.
No, that's not going to happen. I'm pretty hopeful we'll have more. So if you are listening, do show up to our LinkedIn Live, which is going to happen on the 26th of October. We will soon post the time.
We must announce the date ahead of time, and so that, you know, we know that this is the big day. And
if you're connected with us on our social media pages, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, you will get the information beforehand.
Neha, this is the perfect time to announce where they can reach you and check the timings.
No, absolutely. So social media pages, if you're following, you will get that information there. Apart from that, if you'd like to drop a query, you can reach us at shermindia@shrm.org. And Abhijit is available on all of these platforms as well. If you could also tell them your email address, Abhijit, just in case they want to write to you.
Yeah, you can continue to write to me at abhijitbhaduri@live.com, abhijitbhaduri at live, live.com. That's my email address. Or you can follow me on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram at Abhijit Bhaduri, abhijitbhaduri. And I look forward to seeing all of you. Please don't let us have that conversation. I hope some of you will join me and give me moral support, because then I can, you know, take on the millennial, you know, who's there on the show with me. So Neha, this is Gen Z versus millennial. So I think that's
We'll find out who's Gen Z and who's millennial. Definitely do show up and you know, join us for our next unabashed conversation that's going to happen live on LinkedIn. Thank you so much for listening today, and we shall see you soon.
See you then on 26th October at the live session. Until then, stay unabashed.
Unabashed. Bye everyone.
This is Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India Inc.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.